This is Julie Hewitt, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a regular meeting of the Pacifica National Board for Thursday, June 15th, 2023. It is 8:42 p.m. on the East Coast, and I do believe we have quorum. Nancy, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Teresa Allen? She was here earlier. I saw her in there. Adriana Casanave? Jim Dingman?
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs? I'll get back to you. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm here.
Thank you. William Foster?
Here.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin?
I'm here.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thanks. Donna Grimes?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Avelia Jones? Ali Alexa?
Present.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Thank you. James McFadden? Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you. Sharon Salam?
Here.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka?
Right here.
Thank you. Beth Von Gunten?
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis?
Here.
Thank you. Let me go back. Teresa Allen? Adriana Casanave, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Amelia Jones, James McFadden, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you.
Here.
Arthur Schwartz and me present. Nancy Sorden. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. So that was the roll call. The next item on the agenda is the report out from the executive session of June 8th, 2023. This is going to take a few minutes, folks, for me to read the report outs, but here goes. The PMB met in closed session and took the following two actions, which may be reported publicly. Motion number one on negotiating lease for 1990 K Street Northwest. Whereas it is critical to have one person having the authority to conduct negotiations and acting throughout the process to negotiate to extend the lease for WPFW to stay at its current location. Whereas the appointed individual may choose to be supported by others as necessary, such as the general counsel. Therefore, be it resolved that the executive director is the sole person designated to represent the Pacifica Foundation in conducting negotiations with the 1990 K Street Northwest landlord or their designated representatives. Be it further resolved that no other individual may contact the 1990 K Street Northwest landlord or their designated representatives and represent themselves as speaking for the Pacifica Foundation regarding lease negotiations, except at the invitation of the executive director. This provision applies to the WPFW general manager, the real estate broker, any delegate on the WPFW LSB, any member of any WPFW relocation committee or any other member of the Pacifica Foundation. That's motion number one. Motion number two on constitution of the WPFW relocation committee. Whereas the PMB passed a motion in 2022 limiting the membership of LSB committees dealing with confidential financial matters to elected delegates and or officers, whereas the term confidential financial matters includes identifying a new location to be leased by Pacifica for WPFW, and whereas the Pacifica bylaws in Article 7, Section 4 reserves for the PNB any corporate powers not expressly delegated to an LSB, and no such delegation has occurred for the purpose of the WPFW lease, therefore be it resolved that the WPFW Relocation Committee should be reconstituted following these requirements. There shall be three ex officio members who shall be the general manager, chief engineer, and the LSB treasurer, and there shall be a maximum of 10 members of the committee, including the ex officio members, with the remaining members to be elected by the WPFW delegates from the current WPFW delegates and officers using the single transferable voting method. Be it further resolved that the WPFW Relocation Committee is charged with working with the real estate broker to review locations identified by the real estate broker, to refine those locations to a small set of acceptable locations, and to determine by consensus a preferred location as soon as possible, but within the time frame as determined by the renegotiated lease with the landlord at 1990 K Street Northwest. Only the executive director and the real estate broker are authorized to discuss terms or negotiate with any prospective landlord. And that's the end of the report out from the June 8th meeting. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is excused absences. And if I was paying attention, not present were Teresa Allen, Adriana Casaneve, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Avelia Jones, and James McFadden. Is there a motion on excused
absences? Teresa was in. Here comes Avelia. And Teresa was in, but something must have happened. I'll see if I can get a hold of her.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, your presence is now noted. Okay, so that shortens the list of people who are in principle eligible for an excused absence. Is there a motion?
I oppose.
There's not a motion to oppose yet, Fred. I just asked if there was a motion.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Ali.
Were there any requests for an excused absence?
I have to say that I did not look at my email in the last half hour, but there hadn't been before then. I didn't get any text or anything either. Okay, I see Fred's hand.
I really want to know what the purpose of excusing these people who don't even bother to ask for an excused absence. And I've got a question as well. It's my understanding that if you miss three consecutive meetings, mm-hmm. you are removed from the board, but no one ever misses three consecutive meetings that wants to actually be part of the board. So why do we go through the charade?
Okay.
Teresa, just let me know that she's having a hard time getting on. She got knocked off, so we can expect her momentarily.
Okay, great. Thank you. I will just take a stab at answering your question, Fred, in the sense that it seems to have been the will of the body in the past to do it that way. That doesn't mean the will of the body can't change. Go ahead, Sue Goodwin.
Thank you, Julie. With regard to what you were saying about who is to speak to whom about issues of real estate and rent, has this been communicated to the interested parties?
I do believe that it has. Yeah, whether everybody read it. I don't mean to say I do believe it has. I know that it has. Let me put it that way. So, okay.
And do we know if they've agreed or is that not part of the process?
So we're on the excused absences item. So
okay.
You can ask me that question, but not at this okay. point on the agenda. Fair enough. Sure. Sagerton, I see your
name.
Yeah,
I was just going to point that out. Thank you, Julie. And did you get a motion or do you need a second? Where are we?
We don't have a motion. And so far, I didn't hear people supporting. And let me note, Nancy, that Teresa Allen does appear to be in the meeting now.
I will move, Chair, to excuse those not in attendance.
So those that would be getting an excuse for now would be Adriana, Vanessa, and James McFadden.
I second the motion.
Here's Vanessa. Here's Vanessa.
Thank you, Egberto.
Who was that seconded it? Sorry.
It was Egberto Willis.
Thank you.
Who seconded? Thank you.
Vanessa, shut on, Julie.
Yeah. So let me give her a second. She's still connecting to audio. Let me give her a second to state that she's here. Vanessa, that's you I'm talking about.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay, so now we're down to two people who would be excused absences, and that would simply be Adriana and James McFadden. So that's who the motion would cover. Sagerton, is your hand still up, or is that from before?
No, sorry, that's from before.
Okay. Donna Grimes, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a protocol. This is the only way that we know that people... Anyway, I don't agree with that. I think people can easily call or send an email or a text unless they're sick. And if we don't know, you know.
Okay.
And I think Adriana, was she here last time? I think this happened the last time. She was not here and was excused. But I'm just saying, you know, we have that for a reason. I know people play the game sometimes of missing two and then they come in. But
yeah.
I just really think it's a protocol that people should just call or email somebody. We're not even that strict about who it is they call. Just call somebody.
Yes, I agree. Last week's meeting was a relatively short meeting, and it was an executive session only meeting. And I believe Adriana was at that meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was.
Okay. She might have been a few minutes late, but she did arrive. So, Sagerton, I see your hand now.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just want to say that this has been a policy of longstanding where we've excused the absences of those who were not in attendance. And if we're going to change that policy, I would suggest that we craft a motion and change it now, but not apply it now, apply it at the next meeting so that people are, you know, properly on notice that we've change that policy. I also want to say that it's not always possible, you know, whatever it is that causes people to be absent sometimes may also cause them to be unable to communicate otherwise. So it's worked quite nicely for many years. I think we need to be cautious about it's a good government proposal that comes up periodically on the LSBs and the PMB, and I think wiser heads usually prevail eventually and go back to excusing absences.
Thanks, Sagerton. I see your hand, Vanessa, and then Darlene.
So I was just going to say, I agree with everything Sagerton said. It is a longstanding practice, so people know they really don't have to let us know that it's going to be excused. But, you know, when you look at sometimes, like, you know, everybody knows and hopefully remembers Adriana lost her husband. So, you know, who knows? And that, you know, while we want to be an efficient organization and accountable, that, you know, sometimes there's circumstances and we just have to give people a little grace.
Thanks, Vanessa. Darlene?
I want to point out that I did notice that Vanessa said practice, but James Sagerton said policy. We wrote a policy that overrides the bylaws. I've only been here 2 years, but I don't remember that. And I do remember many a time when there were objections to blanket excuses. So calling it a policy that overrides the bylaws, I'd like a little more background.
Is there someone who wants to speak to the background and answer
Yeah, Chair, I raised my hand.
Yeah, go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, I think, and I'm winging it here, but I think the bylaws say something to the effect of 3 unexcused absences in a row, which kind of makes it plain that absences can be excused or they cannot be excused. So we have chosen, for the most part, to excuse them, you know, with periodic exceptions for a long time. So I would just reiterate that if we're going to change the policy now, I would call it a policy because we've done it long enough that I think it qualifies as a policy. I don't think we have to vote on a policy because I think the language in the bylaws implies the policy. Actually states the policy.
Thanks, Sagerton. Do you know how long that's been the practice? Do you have any sense?
As long as I've been around, and we've been doing it on the LSB for at least 6 years.
I'd like to note that James McFadden is present.
No, oh, thank you.
Adriana.
No, and okay, thank you. So Adriana is here as well. I just heard Adriana speak and McFadden's here. So what I'm going to do is thank everybody for this lovely conversation,
Fred,
about excused absences. Because now it turns out that, we don't have anybody who needs an excused absence. So, I will say that if people are interested in, you know, changing what has been longstanding PNB practice, I would argue, you know, as I believe it was Sagerton who pointed out that, you know, the fairest way to approach this would be to put a motion on the agenda. And, you know, we could put that under new business if somebody, wanted to do that, or we could the other.
So moved.
Well, the other alternative is that we could have the coordinating committee, craft such a motion and put it on the agenda for the, July 6th meeting, which is our next regularly scheduled meeting. So
I'd like to move that.
Hang on. I heard multiple voices. So I see Dingman's hand first. Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, I hear everybody's comments, Fred's and Jim's and the others. I just think there's enough friction as it is. And I've never seen the LSB in New York not act in that fashion for ever since its inception. And I just think that, people have other lives, and I understand the issue of 3 strikes you're out, so to speak, but you know, I think that there is, you know, people have to be liberal about this, and, you know, people who live other lives, and, you know, it's not worth having a big battle over this because it can be turned and weaponized into unnecessary friction. It's tough enough as it is. I just think we try to minimize arguments about this kind of stuff.
Beth.
Thank you. from what I can see relative to other nonprofits, almost all the nonprofits that I know of have some kind of policy on absences. Relative to most, Pacifica is lax, or is extremely tight in allowing only 3 absences before removing someone from the board, supposedly without any further due process. And on the other end, it's lax in that you can kind of wave all that away if enough people like you to forgive you for that, with no particular standard or basis or criteria for that forgiveness, that excuse. And so I would propose that the governance committee take a look at this and see what constitutes best practices in the rest of the nonprofit world, and put forth a proposal to bring this into something closer to better practices than what we have now. I know here that this board has been pretty high attendance in the whole time I've been on the board relative to other nonprofits that I've set up, but OSBs are very different and varies a lot from one member to another. So I would propose that we send it to the governance committee and have them work on it and bring it back. Thank
Beth, you. Does the governance committee meet between now and July 6th so that this could be on the July 6th agenda?
That's such a good question. Probably. We haven't met in a while, and we meet monthly. So, yeah, the last Wednesday of the month. So, yes, we will. We meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month. So,
got it.
My hand is still up.
Yeah. Beth, was that a motion?
Sure. Why not? Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So we can't discuss Beth's motion until there's a second.
Second.
Thank you, Donna. Okay. So Beth's motion is on the floor to refer this to the governance committee. And so now we can go to discussion of the motion. Go ahead, Fred.
I was just on the strategic planning committee meeting, which met on Monday, which unfortunately didn't meet on Monday because there was no quorum. There are a number of other committees that have not been able to achieve quorum in the last several months. I think that the missing of three consecutive meetings in a row is extreme. My wife, interestingly enough, is supervising a dozen or so committees for the county of Alameda. And when I was complaining to her about the inability to do work on Monday, she said that she was going through all the bylaws for all these county committees, and the most liberal was three consecutive meetings, and many of the other committees would not allow three consecutive misses without somebody asking to be excused. We're not asking for a lot. We are only asking for people to be excused. If you want to lie and say somebody asked you to excuse them, so you did, you bring that up at the meeting, that's fine with me. But I think that people should actually, and I have on every circumstance, actually notified Julie Hewitt that I had to be excused for necessary reasons. I don't even care if they're necessary reasons. I just want people to go through the process. I think that if you don't care enough about the PNB to not show up for three consecutive meetings or even ask or even have a friend ask, then you really don't belong on the PNB. And this PNB happens to be one of the most dysfunctional groups that I have ever been involved with. And I would like to see it get less dysfunctional and more functional, because my time is valuable.
Thanks. So I'll ask people to confine themselves to discussion of Beth's motion, which is to refer the notion of coming to refer this issue to the governance committee so that they can ascertain best practices and craft a motion going forward. Adriana?
Yes, I want to say something about the original school, because I agree that our bylaws are very clear. They say three consecutive unexcused absence. In KPFT, we passed few years ago, we passed a standing rule that said that you need to have, because obviously we have a situation at some point in time where a person come during the whole year just to one meeting. And that doesn't make any sense, because if you don't have the time, that's fine. I mean, it's neat. But then let somebody else to be in your place. And one of the problems, like Fred said, and I agree, when people don't say in advance that they will not be there, it's not fair for the rest because you are committed, you go there, you don't have quorum, and then, you know, you are wasting other people's time. In KPFT, to avoid the problem, what we said is that we need to send an excuse absence to the entire board at least 3 hours in advance of the meeting, unless that is obviously some other circumstances. And we are talking about an excuse absence. We are not talking about not excusing people. I think that we are all volunteers. We should be excused if we have some kind of problem, whatever it is, but we need to let the board know. And then everybody knows what to do. I agree that the bylaws says so, and we should stick with that. If you have 3 times that you miss 3 consecutive meetings and you don't even ask for an excuse absent, you should be out. I agree.
Thank you. I'm going to do 2 things since people are speaking to the substance of the would-be motion out of the governance committee, should this motion pass, instead of Beth's motion to refer this to the governance committee. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read out loud what Nancy got down in to see, Beth, if this captures the motion that you made. Motion to refer the issue about changing current practice on excusing absences without notice being given to the governance committee. Does that work, Beth? Okay.
That works. Yeah. I can look
thank
that.
You. So we'll use that wording for the motion. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask whether there are any objections to the motion. Hearing none. That motion passes and this matter is referred to the governance committee, and hopefully, they will be able to take into account all the, fine points that people have made along the way here and, you know, craft something that will, work for the body as a whole. So,
Madam Chair,
hang on. I was going to say is that concludes the excused absences item of the preliminary items on the agenda. Yes, Beth.
Thank you. I just wanted to extend an invitation to everyone to, if you have thoughts about this or proposals you'd like to make or past experiences you want to vent about or whatever, don't feel free to contact me and I'll forward all of that to the governance committee. So we're open to and looking for input. Thanks.
That brings us to the item on the agenda of identifying timekeepers. So I need someone who is willing to time people.
I will.
Thank you, Fred. And a volunteer to time agenda items.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Darlene.
I was not being gracious about that.
No. I understood exactly what you were saying, Darlene. So, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, which is a 5-minute item. I shall read the rest of the agenda for you. Approve minutes of open sessions. If there are any, 5 minutes. Item 4, a motion on the chair pro tem of the WPFW Relocation Committee, a 5-minute item. Item 5, a motion in support of elections timeline that's in the appendix. That's a 15-minute item. Item 6, ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes. Item 7, general counsel report and Q&A for 10 minutes. And then the winding down of the open session, unfinished business, new business, and then a motion to move into executive session this evening. I projected that to be at a time certain of 9:45 p.m. Are there any – I move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Thank
Teresa
you.
Teresa Allen will second.
Madam Chair, thank you. Point of information.
Yes, Adriana.
Yes. Do you remember that, I don't know how many sessions ago, we have an issue in KPFT that you said that somebody, we will put together a group to consider that issue. And I think that, do you know if something was done? Is anybody working on that? If you are reviewing or anybody is reviewing that? Because the violation of the bylaws should be addressed.
Yeah. Absolutely, positively. I do recall that. And yeah, so that is a live item, and I'm still working on getting the small group together to deal with that item, because as you may recall, what we decided to do as a group was put the onus on me to pull together the small group to deal with that issue. There were two or three issues, I think, as I recall, that were bound up together with that. So that is absolutely on my to-do list. Perhaps I have been a touch distracted lately. And, you know, so hopefully that distraction will be less in the future, and we'll be able to move forward on that. And so, sorry, I just muted someone because there was some background noise. Beth, I see your hand.
Yes, I sent a petition for redress of grievance not long before the committee or the PNB met today. It should be in everyone's email regarding the improper exclusion of a KPFK representative elected to the governance or to the elections committee from that committee. And I think it's rather urgent because that committee, this is an election year, and that committee is taking up election business, and to exclude a duly elected representative from any one of the LSBs changes it alters the roster of the committee, and therefore who is making those decisions.
That is in people's email. I got it at 7:57 p.m. Eastern time, which was after I'd sent out the agenda. So it's not on. That's why it's not on the agenda. So properly, this would go under new business, Beth. What I would point out is that the motion is longish, and would probably require some time for consideration. And so what would happen is that really to add this item under new business, because you know, it's already 9:15 and we were going to move into closed session, because we do have some things that we have to do in closed session. We were going to move into closed session on the draft agenda. It says at a time certain of 9:45. So that time would have to be extended to be able to accommodate what's obviously now a longer new business item than the usual nothingness that it is.
May I respond?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. The explanation is a bit long, but the only two things that this petition asks for is first, for recognition, regularization of this member's status as a member of that elections committee until the PNB can consider the what has been done and this person's status, and an investigation be set up to report back to the next PNB meeting. So there's not that much that would have to happen in this meeting. I have reservations about that committee moving forward with an altered, having altered its own roster without so much as seeking the approval of the PNB for that action.
So I would like just the regular roster restored until the PNB has a chance to weigh in on it. And I'd like an investigation so that the PNB has enough information to make a fully informed decision.
The question I asked was, how much time do you think this item will take? Because we timed it out and we won't.
We've exceeded the 90 seconds that this person has for speaking.
I want a simple answer to the question of how much time would we have to add to the agenda to accommodate this item to the open portion of the agenda, Beth, please.
Maybe 15 minutes. I'm guessing.
15 minutes. That's what we'll do. What I'm suggesting is that part of your motion is to add this item to new business and to add 15 minutes to the time certain to move into closed session, which would make that 10 p.m. Eastern time. Is there a second for Beth's motion?
Second.
Thank you, Adriana. So this is a motion to amend the agenda. And so at the moment, that's the only motion that we're talking about. So I see Aki and Jim Sagerton's hands. Go ahead, Aki.
Okay, I just noticed that we're having an election. And there was some people concerned about the fact that people who are voted in 2023, the third two-year term. So I put a motion which will allow the people who are voted in this year to serve three-year term and maintain the three-year election cycle. So we don't have to vote on the motion today, but to just reassure people that the three-year terms will be maintained. So you can read the motion and don't worry about having two-year term.
Aki, you were sort of cutting in and out a little bit, and so I think I missed part of the point you were making.
Oh, the point that I'm making is that there are concerns by some people that people running in 2023 will only have a two-year term.
Right.
And my motion basically sets the election cycle so that people running this year will still have a three-year term, and there will still be a regular three-year election cycles. So, it's to reassure people that won't be having a two-year term.
I see. You're talking. Okay, so hang on. So the point is you're talking about another item for new business.
He actually said it doesn't have to be dealt with this time.
Oh, it doesn't have to be dealt with tonight. Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. All right. So what we're talking about at the moment is Beth's motion to amend the agenda by adding her elections committee motion to new business and then extending the time certain by 15 minutes.
Chair, if we're Sagerton, still on agenda approval, we have run way over time.
Okay. Sagerton, against my better judgment, I would entertain a motion to extend time.
I was going to offer one if you want.
Go for it.
I just wanted to. Okay. I moved to extend for 5 minutes. Just to
second best.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend the agenda approval item for five more minutes?
That makes it 20 minutes total.
Well, that does. Was that an objection, Fred?
Pretty much.
I'm
not going to force a vote.
Okay, thank you.
I also had my hand up to speak if when you get to it.
Yeah. Hearing no objections other than Fred's, which he maintains it is not meant to force us to take a vote, which will take even more time. We'll consider the amendment to the agenda approved. And so now we need to approve the, oh, but Sagerton, you also had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that we are currently under the scrutiny of a court in the conduct of our elections. We need to make sure we do things correctly. We're under a court order not to interfere or, you know, mess with the election process. And this election committee, which is going to be dealing with the elections question, has excluded a member who was duly elected to the committee. And as we all know in the bylaws, members of committees, PMB committees, serve until they are properly replaced, regardless of whatever their status may or may not be on whatever whatever station board that they're on or any other question about their status. They stay on the committee until they're properly replaced. And that's the principle here, and it's going to apply. It should apply across the board to all the committees. It does apply across the board. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Is there any further discussion of the agenda? Hearing none. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Hearing none. The agenda is approved at 9:23 p.m. Okay, that brings us to approving minutes of open sessions. Nancy, I think we don't have any because of what you were describing earlier as a little computer meltdown, shall we say. Is that correct? You're muted.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad I figured out what it was. It was Microsoft, but
okay.
It was like,
okay.
My computer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's too bad. Okay. So, there are no minutes to approve for this evening. So that takes us to item number four, which is a motion on the chair pro tem of the WPFW relocation committee. And this is a 5-minute item. And there's a very brief, motion in the appendix, which I shall read now. The Pacifica National Board thanks the former members of the WPFW Relocation Committee for their service and resolves that Kamal Harris shall be the chair pro tem of the WPFW Relocation Committee until the reconstituted committee elects a chair. I seek a second.
Vanessa, second.
I'll second that.
Yeah, thank you. And so I will be ever so brief in terms of motivation here. During the WPFW LSB meeting last night, the parliamentarian pointed out that really when the PNB passed the motion to reconstitute the relocation committee, we also should have identified a chair pro tem. And I will just add that Kamal Harris was the chair of the previous relocation committee. Kamal is also the treasurer at WPFW and a delegate, an elected staff delegate at WPFW. So, you know, just as a little bit of background. And, you know, the idea is Kamal would call the first meeting and then they would elect their own chair. So is there any further discussion of this motion? Hearing none, are there any objections to this motion? And hearing none, the motion passes, and we will inform Kamal and let him know so that the relocation committee can get going. The next item on the agenda is a motion in support of elections timeline. And again, this is see the appendix. And the motion reads as, the Pacifica National Board supports a decision by the National Election Supervisor to extend both the period for membership and the candidate sign-up period into July. I seek a second.
July what?
Well, it would be the choice of the national election supervisor.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Dingman.
Yes, I would support that be extended for the entire month of July. I would amend that to have the entire month of July covered by that extension. I make that as an amendment to that motion.
Point of order. This is Sean.
Hang on. So I made the motion and then no one seconded it. So
precisely
my
point.
Thank you, Sean. So I don't think it's proper to amend it just yet. So the question is there a second for this motion?
I second it.
Okay. Thank you, Dingman. Okay, now we can discuss the motion.
Point of information?
Go ahead, Teresa.
So tell me where this motion is coming from again.
The idea is that, that's a good question. I'll take a deep breath. Give you the background. The elections committee met, I believe it was this week, maybe it was last week.
And I was there.
The NES, was supposed to join the elections committee at that meeting, but was unable to. And I think there was the sense that, you know, the elections committee wanted to pass a motion like this, but didn't get to do it, and didn't have a conversation with the NES, and that the timeline that the NES has been operating off of was, you know, a draft timeline that, you know, a small number of people put together, but wasn't ever actually, you know, passed by a committee, and because it's already, you know, halfway into June, that there's not that much time left, and that we would want to mount, you know, a serious campaign to get people to renew their membership so that they are members and therefore eligible to vote in the one instance, because it's the membership period, but also the candidate sign up period. So it would extend both deadlines. So that's the motivation. I got you, Sean. There's a couple of people in front of you. I see Beth, Adriana, then I'll go to Sean and then Dingman. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you.
Chair, we are out of time.
I move to extend by 10.
Is there a second to the motion to extend by 10 minutes?
Second. Ronald second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend by 10? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. If we don't need all those 10 minutes, we don't have to use them. We can go on, but now we've got them. So I had the same question, when in July, that's been addressed a bit. I also was looking for clarification for what does candidate sign up mean exactly? Does that mean the period in which someone can declare their candidacy, or is it just providing the qualifying documentation like the signatures and you know, their statement and that sort of thing? And I guess that's probably enough. Yeah. Do we have that information?
It's the motion is crafted rather hastily. So it says the candidate sign up period. So if someone wants to, you know, offer an amendment to make that more clear, you know, more power to you.
I'll work on it. Thank you.
Okay. Adriana.
Yes. I have, do we have anybody from the election committee? They talk about this in the election committee. First question. Second question. The national election supervisor, what is her recommendation? But this, sign up period into July, like Jim said, we need to be more specific, because if not, we will be running behind whatever motion we pass and then need to change it. Do we have a specific recommendation from the NES and or the national, the election committee? Do we have any?
I'll give you my sense of the answer to that, and then if someone on the election committee has anything else to offer, they can. I think the idea is for the NES to select the date in July that makes sense from the standpoint of, you know, working within, you know, the other things that are specified in the bylaws, because the bylaws do, in some instances, say things like, you know, you have to leave at least this much time for this particular phase of the election cycle to happen. And then there are some other instances where it says, you know, it has to happen by, you know, a certain date that is actually spelled out in the bylaws, you know, that, making stuff up here off the top of my head. I'm not looking at the bylaws, but that something would have to happen by, you know, July 1st or something like that. Right. And so I think the idea is for this motion not to specify the date, to give the NES the wiggle room, not wiggle room, but, you know, the ability to, you know, kind of figure out that date that extends these two sign-up period, you know, the membership period and the declare your candidacy period or candidate sign-up period, whichever is the more precise term. So that we get the best participation in these elections as possible, right? So to extend it because, like we said, we're already at June 15th. And I think there are, I have seen emails and whatnot go out that say the date is June 30th, but that was the June 30th date was, you know, a date pulled from, you know, a draft outline, back when we were working on trying to get an NES, appointed, you know, back in March, in the March timeframe. So any rate, I know that's not a complete, answer to your question, but it's meant to be as responsive as possible. Not as possible, only that I don't know anything more. So, Sean, you were next on the stack.
And as it turns out, I am on the National Elections Committee, so I can speak to this. The committee last met on June 7th. The motion that we passed at that time was similar to this, but the motion we passed was a recommendation that the NES extend the deadline to the first week in July. That was the motion that the committee passed. Now I'm seeing that the NES recommends, you know, these other things for a random date in July. I'm pleased that the NES somehow got involved and wants to undertake that, so I support that. But in terms of some of the other questions I heard raised, it's the candidate sign-up period. I take that to mean having your documents submitted by whatever date the NES will choose for July. So there you are.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate
Helen
that.
For the stack.
I got you, Teresa, but you're after Dingaman and Sagerton. Go ahead, Dingaman.
My motion is that we extend this period of the sign-up and the candidacy completion of their packets by the end of July, July 31st. I make that motion. This whole thing has been sprung upon us out of the, you know, we know all about the history of this, how it's going on, and we're literally in it now for good reason, but I know that many people are way behind in interacting with it, and it's going to take a couple of weeks to get people up to snuff. So I personally think that it should be at the end of the month of July 31st, and I would, yes, I would make that as amendment to that motion.
I second that.
Thank you, Aki. Okay, so now the only thing that's proper to be discussed is Dingman's motion of adding specificity to the motion so that it doesn't just say July, but it says July 31st. Or actually, let me clarify. So it would say in the, and the candidate sign up period,
to July
31st.
Yes.
Okay.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Hang on, Adriana, I just want to, Sagerton, your hand was up before. Did you also want to speak to Dingman's motion? Just yes or no?
My hand was up before. What I want to say was related to Dingman's motion. So okay. I'll say no for now. I'll come back.
And Darlene, your hand's up. Was that to respond or to discuss Dingman's motion? Nope.
I'm taking it down.
Okie dokie. And Adriana, did you want to talk about Dingman's motion? Amendment. I'm sorry.
A point of information I was asking for. The motion talked about the period for membership. It means what we call in the bylaw the record.
Correct.
We are extending everything, right? That is my point of information.
Yes, I do believe the bylaws refers to that as the record date.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
I mean, I would have to, you know, carefully study my bylaws to be 100% certain, but my strong recollection is that that's what we refer to as the record date. Yes. Okay. Or is there anyone, who wants to speak to Dingman's motion?
Can you mute Sagerton?
Sagerton muted Sagerton. One thing that, so I put myself on the stack here and I appreciate the spirit of the motion, the amendment in the sense of, you know, we want to give people ample time. What I do want to make sure is that what we haven't done in extending it to July 31st is somehow otherwise jeopardized some of the, timeline things that happen after people have declared their candidacy and by submitting all their paperwork. You know, it takes time to vet the nominees to make sure that they are, you know, in the correct class, et cetera. You know, it takes time to develop the ballots. It takes time to, we need to give people ample time to actually vote, right? So, and there are, I don't remember all the details. And the point is, you know, once upon a time, I figured out an election timeline, but that was way back in, you know, the February, March timeframe. And, you know, what I remember is that because of some, you know, minimum and maximum kinds of things, it really, we might not want to let it go all the way till July 31st. What we need to do is have the NES pick the date and then have that date be, you know, clearly announced and used in, you know, all kinds of, parts and PSAs, et cetera, going forward so that, you know, we minimize the confusion because I'm starting to see emails.
Your time is up, Julie.
Thank you.
Let me do that, Fred. I wasn't going to interrupt.
I'm the person that does time for people.
He was saying people.
I beg your pardon. Chair, the 10 minutes for the item, sorry, Fred, is up.
Ah, thank you.
Julie, your 90 seconds for talking is up.
So,
move to extend by 10.
I object. You know, this is why these meetings go for too many hours.
Thank you, Fred. So hang on. So first, Beth moved to extend for 10. Was there a second to Beth's motion?
No.
Sean will second.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. All right. So now we're working on the motion to extend time for this item by 10 minutes. Are there any objections?
I object.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to a vote, Nancy. and people answer quickly. So,
would you entertain an amendment?
The motion, hang on. I'm sorry. What are you saying, Sagerton?
I'm asking if you would entertain an amendment to 5 minutes.
I would entertain an amendment to 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second to Sagerton's amendment?
I'll second Heather.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Okay. So now we're on the motion to amend the extension to 5 minutes. Are there any objections to the motion to amend to 5? Hearing none. The motion to extend is amended to 5 minutes. And so now I'm going to ask if there are any objections to motion to extend by 5. Hearing none. Nancy, do you need something? Okay. Okay. So I heard no objections to the motion to extend by 5. So 5 minutes is what we have. Additional, Darlene?
Yes, I'm putting it on the clock.
Thank you. So I see Sagerton, Teresa, and Adriana's hands. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that I think part of the reason that people, are moving to extend this to July 31st is because there is some consternation about the sort of telescope's timeline for this, and people are scrambling to find candidates and find new members, and there's an important fundraising aspect to all of this. We need the extra money that we'll get from people joining so that they can vote. And I want to suggest, as part of the PSAs and the other things that you were mentioning that the NES could do to bring us all up to speed on all of this, is to include in that a call for candidates, not just a call for members so people can vote, and a call for candidates so that we can get a full complement of candidates involved in the election. And I'll make that as a motion at an appropriate time, if necessary.
So the motion that's on the floor right now is the motion to amend the main motion that would change the main motion from saying into July to saying to July 31st. In other words, taking the decision out of the NES's hands instead of allowing it to be up to the NES, who could decide July 31st, because July 31st is into July.
And we can't decide.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Yeah, so Nancy just pointed out that the PMB doesn't get to decide, that the NES decides. And Teresa, what's your point?
Yeah, the NES decides, and unfortunately, the Elections Committee didn't have a chance to discuss this with the NES. I'm glad that it says that the National Election Supervisor has agreed to extend. Perhaps when the Elections Committee meets with the NES, the point that she decides upon would be no problem. And I think the Elections Committee might be meeting with the election supervisor very soon.
I want to be very clear about something. It does not mean that the National Election Supervisor, it's the board is affirming its support to the NES that it's okay to make a decision to extend the period into the membership. It's not the case that the NES already decided that and we're affirming it. It's that we're offering our support to the NES to make such a decision, right? Because as Nancy pointed out, it's not up to us to decide.
Then would it not be appropriate for us to just accept and just pass this as it stated, rather than putting extra dates in it? Making it too specific, where it makes it sound like we're dictating to the NES.
Yes, it would.
That happens to be my personal opinion as well. Okay, folks.
Has been up, Beth?
Okay, it's not up on my screen, so.
And point of information, Teresa, for the point of information.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Is there a document where the NES says some specifics about what she wants, or are we just taking this from word of mouth that she is intending to do this? Is there some email that I missed where she's specific about extending this into July?
I have seen emails from some of the stations to their members saying, you know, no, I haven't seen any, everything I've seen so far has dates of June 30th on it. That's it. And that's lending people with the sense that there are exactly 2 weeks, or 15 days left in the period. And you might think that's not a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. We are at time again on this item.
To extend.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So sorry, it does not mean that she is. We're at time.
Okay, so right. The NES has question. Not said that she wants to extend.
She has not said that, correct. So, okay. I hear it call the question. Is there a second?
Madam Chair, I'm very sorry, but we need to consider what the bylaw says, right? Don't you think?
Yes, which is why the motion is written to leave the decision up to the NES.
It's not what the bylaw says.
Okay. The bylaws don't give the NES complete unfettered decision making.
Not only that, Madam Chair.
Need to be met.
Not only that. The bylaw in Article 4 delegates Section 5 election time frame. The decision is there, and they are talking about, they say here what to do is that article, and doesn't put that in the hands of the NES. That put that in the hands of the PMB.
Are we at time on this?
Yes.
We either need to extend or move on.
Question has been called.
Have more than one chair.
Yeah. Stop. Everyone, just hang on a second. Well, the bylaws say that it closes on June 30th.
Exactly, but keep reading.
Nominations period. So, folks, I'm not sure that there's the ability to move it into July, which is why when we come up with the timeline before. Okay, the question's been called. So we're voting on Dingaman's motion to change the from to amend the motion where it says into July and to say to July 31st. Are there any objections to Dingaman's motion to amend?
Yes.
All right. Nancy, can we go to a vote?
Okay. Teresa Allen? Teresa Allen, how do you vote? Yes? No?
You're muted, Teresa.
Allen says yes. Sorry.
Adriana Casanave?
Pass.
James Dingaman?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth?
No.
William Foster?
Yes.
Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Heather Gray?
Abstain.
Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Avelia Jones?
Pass.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
James McFadden?
Same.
Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Sharon Salam? Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
I vote that we stick with the bylaws, whatever that is. I don't know if that's a yes or a no, but...
Probably a no.
Yeah. I think that's a no. Yeah. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Adriana Casanet, you passed.
I abstain.
Okay. Heather Gray? Oh, I'm sorry, you abstained already. Yeah. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Sharon Salam? Let me count. One. Fourteen, yes. Two, no. Three abstentions. Charity, you wish to vote?
I'll vote no.
14 yes, 3 no, 3 abstentions.
All right. That was item 5 on the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not done. That was just a motion to amend. So now we have to vote on the amended motion is the, or see if there are any objections to the main motion is amended. Are there any objections?
My hand has been up since before Dingaman made his amendment regarding clarification of the wording you asked for before. I want to move to amend to replace candidate sign up with declaration and qualification so that we're clear that we're not just talking about the paperwork, but that the period is open to allow candidates.
Understood. I'm sorry. Replace the word candidate sign up to say the words again to
clarification and qualification. And I already emailed it to the secretary.
Madam Chair, can we use the words nomination period? That is exactly what was in the executive director. Or, yeah, just nomination period.
Declaration and qualification is what I, declaration and qualification is what I was.
Okay, Beth's motion is to say declaration and qualification, as a motion to amend to say declaration and qualification. Where are we on time on this item?
I was just about to ask. My understanding is I don't count time during a vote, but this is turning into something else.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion to extend if we're going to continue on this item.
Beth moves to extend by 5.
Is there a second to Beth's motion to extend by 5?
Second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend by 5 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended by 5. Okay, so Beth put an amendment on the motion to change candidate sign up to declaration and qualification of candidates, presumably.
Right.
Or are you just changing sign up to declaration and qualification? Could you please clarify?
Okay, that yeah, that
so
works.
The word candidate is still in the motion. Okay.
Okay.
That's the motion to amend. I see a couple of hands on the stack, but please, folks, when I ask you if you're discussing the motion to amend, I don't mean the whole motion. I mean Beth's amendment that changes the word sign up to declaration and qualification. Teresa, is your hand up to speak to that matter?
No, sorry.
So no worry. You can leave it there. Dingman, is your hand up to speak to that matter? Okay. Beth, do you feel compelled to speak to that matter?
No, that's a legacy hand. I finally got to say what I needed to. Thank you.
Okay. I put it down for you. Okay. Are there any objections to Beth's amendment to the motion?
I have my hand up, Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. I closed my eyes. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yeah. I mean, I want to use the phrase nomination, period. Because that is what the bylaw talk about, nomination, period.
So, Adriana, are you making an amendment to Beth's amendment?
Okay.
Well, technically, that's how we have to do it. So, is there a second for Adriana's? So Adriana's motion would, or amendment would basically be now to replace candidate declaration and qualification with nomination period.
I'll stick in that.
Thank you, Sean. Did I interpret that correctly, Adriana?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, got it. So now I'm going to see if people have anything to add on to say directly to Adriana's replacement of or amendment to replace candidate declaration and qualification with nomination period. Teresa, do you want to speak to that?
No.
Beth, did you want to speak to that?
Yes, please. Thank you. There are two steps in becoming an official candidate. One is to declare yourself, but then there's a second step that involves the qualifying documentation. And I want to be sure that if we're going to extend anything, it's not just the period to nominate oneself or someone else, but also the second part of that process to get the documentation in, and that they both close at the same time, not that nominations close at the end of June and then the other extends for, you know, however long, but that they both run simultaneously and are extended by the same length of time. And that we acknowledge that there are two steps to that process and that it's not, I don't think that the word nomination covers both of those steps.
Madam Chair?
Point of information, Chair?
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to Darlene first. Go ahead, Darlene.
This is my question. We're doing all this to add on to a statement of support. Is that where we are?
That's what we're doing.
Thank you.
That is what we're doing. Beth had her say, I see Sagerton and Sue Goodwin and then, Dingaman. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Clarified my point. I wanted to ask whether the nomination period included getting the paperwork in. And I think Beth has made it clear that it doesn't. So now I understand. Thank you.
May I say something, Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Because normally the nomination period, the National Election Supervisor is the one that decides when the package needs to be completed. But, you know, the timeline for nomination, because have to do with the record time for membership. And like we said, if we want people donate and we want people be able to run and donate money to run, we need to put it with the right words, nomination period. And then the National Election Supervisor will decide if it's something that needs to be done differently. But those dates will be set like that.
Yep. Okay. Sagerton.
I'm sorry, Chair. I just didn't take my hand down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sue Goodwin.
Okay, forgive me, but can someone please tell me why this matters? I mean, I believe in process. I believe process has integrity, but I'm having a hard time relating to this and understanding how I should vote.
I'm sorry, I stepped away from my computer because I'm desperate for a glass of water, which...
You deserve it.
Well, it's why I can't spit a sentence out. Why this matters, I think the argument
I'm just trying to put this into the larger context of the purpose of PNB, and
I think I can say it fairly as, on the one hand, we want people to have the maximum amount of time, to be a candidate and get prepared, to run in an election takes paperwork, and it's not always the easiest thing to do quickly and speedily. Right. And so the extending it is in the interest of making it possible for as many people to be well prepared to run as they can. On the other end, though, is what the bylaws say, right? That we have timelines for things, and we don't want to, violate deadlines that are in the bylaws. And I have to say, our bylaws are somewhat complicated in terms of the elections, because you have to read lots of different parts of the bylaws, because in some places it says this period needs to be at least 30 days long or something like that. And then in other places it gives dates certain. And so that's the part where you have to read the whole thing. And for heaven's sakes, folks, we are paying the National Election Supervisor to be able to figure some of this stuff out. Stephanie tells
time.
Thank you. Stephanie tells, I will just finish the thought with, Stephanie tells me that the NES is contemplating an extension of something like 15 days. So there you have it.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are on the amendment that replaces candidate declaration and qualification with nomination period. Are there any objections to the amendment to replace candidate declaration and qualification with nomination period?
Madam Chair, I was next, and can't they just simply say nomination period, which includes the comments that Beth made, something like that, to solve this problem?
So part of the problem is that Darlene said that we were at time for this item, so that's why I was moving on to the vote. So if we're going to keep discussing, we need a motion to extend.
I make a motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Is there a second to Dingman's motion to extend for five?
Sean will second.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for five? All right. We're extended for five more minutes. Okay. So that means I can go back to the stack instead of insisting on the vote. So go ahead, Dingman, with your point.
Yeah, the point, I want to totally agree with you, Julie, on everything you just said. Keep in mind that now we're running to implement the bylaw timeline, and we had a big battle, which cost five figures over the question of postponing these elections. And now I think we must make sure that we do our best to get this process right. And so I again assert that it's important. I understand that, you know, the NES will make a decision. So the question of the wording to recommend until the 31st, since that decision's up to her. But I don't think we should quibble about this, because it seems to me the what Adriana said about the nomination period and also the wording that Beth has included, they're not mutually exclusive. And it is important to get this right, simply because we've had huge waste of time battles that have cost months and months of time over this issue. And now we're doing it. And now we should make sure that we do it the right way. And that means give great respect to our listener members and to everybody who wants to run, and really try to mobilize as many people as possible to get involved in this process to make sure that we have the best optimal outcome.
I agree with a lot of what you just said, Dingman. And what I want to know is, did you just make a motion to amend?
Yeah, I guess I did. My motion is to include both phrases of both Adriana and Beth in a way that they can agree on, you know, something like that. I mean, you know, like whatever, wherever you put the nomination period, which includes the two points that Beth said, and then comma, and then go to the end of it, something like that. Just to
90
get those
seconds is up, Jim.
Okay, thanks.
So I think what I heard Jim say is that we would hang on. I have to. The motion fell off my screen. That the motion would now say, and the candidate nomination period, including declaration and qualification.
Which includes,
thank you.
Yeah, something like that.
Madam Chair, can we take a friendly amendment? Yeah. Because if not, you know, if it's not like that, after a motion, you have only two amendments. But we can take it like a friendly amendment, and we solve the issue.
Yeah. So actually, I do remember that when we had a parliamentarian, he pointed out that there's no such thing as a friendly amendment versus, I just typed in the, we're gonna bend the rules here just a little bit in terms of Roberts, and we're just gonna declare that the amendment is now the language that I just pasted into chat that goes at the end there. It says, and the candidate nomination period, which includes declaration and qualification. And then with the rest of the wording, which is, I believe we're at 2 July 31st.
If you need a second, please consider this my second, says Beth.
So this is.
Thank you. Okay.
That's the final wording of Adriana's amendment to Beth's.
Yes.
Amendment.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. So, okay. So now we are, Darlene, I see your hand.
I'll take it down.
Okay. So can we vote on Adriana's amendment, which is slightly morphed now, based on Dingman's suggestion? Are there any objections to Adriana's amendment? Hearing none, we consider the motion amended. And Nancy, could you just read the whole motion now, just because now we're going to go to the main motion as amended. And it would be great if everybody understood what the whole thing said.
Okay, one second.
And Chair, we have used up our 5 minutes.
Of course. Thank you, Nancy.
That was Darlene.
No, but
Nancy's trying.
I'm proactively thanking Nancy for
what she's going to do.
what she's about to do. Prospectively thanking Nancy. Sorry, I should drink more water.
Drink a beer. Okay. Just kidding.
Okay, the Pacifica National Board supports a decision by the National Elections Supervisor to extend both the period for membership and, and the candidate nomination period, which includes declaration and qualification, to July 31st.
Okay. Are there any objections to the motion?
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, Sean. Hearing none, we'll consider the motion passed. All right. Back up to where we were on the agenda. It's 10:13 and, we extended the time certain only till, 10, which we are now a solid 13 minutes past. And we have the following items remaining. We have ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes. We have general counsel report and Q&A for 10 minutes, but Arthur has since informed me that he won't be available for the open session this evening, so we'll be able to skip that item. And then we had, I believe, Beth's motion on election committee membership under new business. And Beth projected that would take 15 minutes. And so we have to figure out.
Half an hour?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said, Adriana.
I moved to stand 30 minutes.
And you mean the time certain?
Right.
Thank you. Is there a second for Adriana's motion to extend time certain till basically 10:44?
James, second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to extending the time certain to 10:44 p.m. Eastern time?
I object. We can always extend if we need to.
You object, but we can what extend?
Never mind. I just said I object.
Okay. Are there any objections?
I object and we'll have to leave at 10:30.
Okay. What I'm trying to ascertain now is whether there are any additional objections besides Ali Lex's and Sue Goodwin's.
And Fred Dodsworth.
And Fred Dodsworth. All right. Hearing none, we'll consider the motion to extend the time certain to 10:44 is having passed by the required 2/3 vote, noting the objections of Fred, Sue, and Ali. Okay, so next item up on the agenda is Stephanie and the ED report and Q&A, which is a 20-minute item. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you. Hopefully everybody received the ED report that was mailed out to everyone. We have on the top, as normal, the financials, just a quick breakdown according to cash on hand as of today. In all the divisions is roughly $302,000. Our aged payables without central services is a little over $2 million. And our aged payables with unpaid central services to both the national office and the archives is $3,605,000. The payroll period for this, the payroll for this past period of June 1st through 15th was met. We have, again, it's in the chart here, but we have roughly 83 employees and the total pay period, including pension insurance, union dues, taxes and such is, this past pay period was a little over $202,000. We are ready to start the audit, but we don't have the funds to pay the audit firm, which is $75,800. So we're still keeping in touch with the auditors just to let them know that we do want to move forward, but we're just waiting to try to, you know, figure out where to get those funds to begin that process. We recently received two offers on the Los Angeles property. I can go into greater details with those in the closed session, but everything is pretty much written out here. We received one offer this past Friday. We received another offer just yesterday, and we are awaiting another offer from a third potential buyer, but they, we went, did a walkthrough with their architects, and the architects are currently doing an assessment. And so they will, once they complete that assessment, which they said would be a week, which should place us to tomorrow or Saturday, then we'll get a better idea if they are willing to put in a bid as well. We are still unable to make any payments on our interest for the FJC loan. We were unable to make the payment in March. We have another interest payment due June 30th, and we will not have the funds to pay that interest payment. The total outstanding payoff for that loan, if we were to pay it off today, is $2,600,000. The EIDL loan, we also needed to begin paying that off. We haven't had the funds to be able to make those payments, and they are roughly $8,700 per month, and we are 2 months behind in those payments. The election website, speaking of elections, is a couple of bugs that were in there, and Otis actually was, when he was on the call with Renee, it was to work out some of those bugs that were on the elections website. So if anybody does see anything that's out of the ordinary or something isn't working, please, by all means, email the National Election Supervisor at nes@pacifica.org or email myself at ed@pacifica.org, and we will make sure that we get those fixed as much as possible. Again, we had, want to thank two donors that covered the first of the three payrolls for the National Election Supervisor, and then another donor who will be covering the payroll expenses for the FAIR Campaign's provision assistant. We are still reaching out to other donors to help us and assist the donors that have committed to make those, you know, gracious donations, but we are reaching out to other individuals as well to see if they are able to help us in any way with any of that funding. Also with the elections, we will be sending out on a weekly basis an email that is allowing, we want to be able to give everyone the fair opportunity to let all of our listeners know of any upcoming delegate election related events. So we will be sending a weekly newsletter with information on those events. They will be sent out every Tuesday, and we will have a submission for deadline for any of that information on the Friday before. We are going to send one out next Tuesday, but because it's already, you know, tomorrow is Friday, we're giving that submission deadline for Monday, June 19th. In the email that will be going out tomorrow explaining this, it will have the submission deadline for each week as to when the newsletter is going to be sent out and when that submission needs to come in, and that will carry through the entire election. Caveat is we want to make sure that all of these events are open to all listeners and to all candidates, and the events must not promote one specific candidate or slate. Does anyone have any questions?
Sagerton, go ahead.
Yeah, how does that newsletter that we were talking about in the elections committee, or is that the email?
I didn't hear the first part of that. It was kind of scratchy, but I'm assuming, were you referencing as to how that would affect anything with the motion that was just passed, or?
No. How are these newsletters going to go out? Through Constant Contact or through the email membership list?
Through Constant Contact, so we don't have to, that was a cost-effective measure. If we go through the mailing house to send that out, it's roughly, you know, anywhere between $250 to, well, for everybody to be sent out, it would be close to $450 an email.
Yeah, well, that's good. And will it include calls for candidates?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Teresa, you're up. You're muted. Teresa, you're muted.
Okay. So there are only, we are only advertising, we are only promoting events that are sponsored through the NES's office. We're not encouraging any other forums by any other groups. Is that correct?
If Stephanie, if you're responding, you're muted.
Sorry about that. People will be submitting their election-related events to the election supervisor and myself. There will have to be certain criteria that they need to reach and agree that they're not promoting any individual candidate or slate. We can forward all of those as well, since there's a length of time from a Friday to a Tuesday. We can forward those to the election committee if they would like, so they can review prior to it going out. So that draft email can be sent to the election committee if you prefer.
Madam Chair, may I make a statement?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I would just say, let's say I'm an individual and I decide that I want to have a forum to discuss events, or I want to discuss issues. So I give this to the NES and she advertises, okay, there's going to be, Teresa's going to have a Zoom meeting and she's going to discuss issues that are profoundly important to Pacifica. And in that meeting, I mention my organization, I mention my website, people go on my website, then I capture everybody's email that goes on that website and I send out all kinds of propaganda. I say, it's wrong for us to use our resources to let a person, an individual or another group, have their own meetings because they're going to mention websites or somehow promote something, or they can. And if we're going to have a debate or if we're going to have some sort of forum, I think the NES should control it, rather than any other organization, and we should not promote any other organization. Thank you.
Beth, you're next.
Yes, I had a question about, I'm not sure that the ED will know the answer to this, because she's not the NES and they're separate functions, but there's a notice for elections, Pacifica Elections Work Group for this coming Saturday, posted to KPFTX. And I've been getting a lot of questions about it. What work group is that? And who stood it up? And who's on it? And how can people get onto it? And what's it for? And who's behind it? And on and on and on. And looking at it, it was clearly posted by Otis. And the only person on that membership list is the NES herself, so it appears that that may be intended as a public Zoom event where people, because there's contact information posted. But beyond that, I haven't been able to find anything else about it. I would hope that if we should be doing more informative things like that, but if we're going to go to the bother, then it should be widely noticed and invitations sent out, and everyone should get to know about it and not have to wonder. So is there, can the ED shed any light on that event? Thank you.
It actually is not a working group, and that was posted as a working group, not due to what it was called by the National Election Supervisor, but from past things that have been posted. And so, Otis accidentally just listed it as a working group, but it's not a working group. The purpose of one of the things that Renee was on the phone call with Otis prior to this meeting was to change the name of that. The purpose of the call is to field questions. So the, you know, our listeners can call in and just kind of have a, you know, anybody can call in. They can direct their concerns directly to the National Election Supervisor. And they're also sending out a notification. We were speaking to some individuals on the election committee just prior to this meeting, actually, to make sure that the election committee attends that call if they can. And then immediately following these calls, which we want to be able to do on a regular basis, there would be a closed session that would be with the election committee and the NES. So they'd be able to answer and discuss any issues or questions that were raised to the NES on that call. So it's just greater opportunities for the general public to speak directly to the National Election Supervisor. And then the working group is the committee itself that is focusing on assisting how they, you know, whatever they can and field those questions directly.
Thanks, Stephanie. Darlene, you're next.
Yeah, Stephanie, you said like two questions ago that you would send all these announcements to the National Election, to the PNB Election Committee, for review, but that's the job of Craig Dunkersley. Those questions that have been asked about how does this happen? How does that happen? And so this is all, to my thinking, fair elections processes. And that's who should be included, I believe.
Correct. But if the National Election Committee feels that they need to have an see what's going out prior, you know, again, that's something if they feel that they need to see that or it would make them more comfortable. I don't know what is this something that when we have forms, because this has happened in the past, there was a pre-existing form for people to fill out when they wanted to announce different delegate election related events that were happening. It doesn't appear as if maybe people are comfortable with that, since there's a question as to why these would be sent out.
Ali's next.
Yeah, I don't know if this has been discussed or if it's already being planned, but would it be possible to have the election supervisor attend the next PNB meeting and all the PNB meetings up until the election, possibly clarify things, and also we wouldn't have to waste time on speculation on certain things. Is that something that we could look into?
I'm happy to work with Stephanie to see if the NES is willing to come to our meetings going forward, because I suspect that there might be some clarifications that could occur that would be, you know, quite beneficial. So I'm willing to ask and find out and let you all know by email.
Great.
Does that work?
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure there won't be a concern. There's been a few times just this week that when people have called me with questions, I will just call Renee and merge her into the phone call with somebody that we're having, you know, if somebody is asking a question of me and I don't have the answer. So she's been extremely available to answer immediate questions when people have something or they're calling me about it. So I'm sure that she won't have an issue attending these meetings so we can answer these questions directly.
Yeah, thanks. Thingman.
Sorry, I was bumped off. See, my main concern all the time with these elections is that there be a ample opportunity for the issues to be debated and not, the nonsense that we had the last election where actually debates weren't even aired. And, you know, that to me is very important, having been someone who was on the old LAB many years ago, saw the need to have elections, and have always been a firm supporter of the elections process. I don't want to see this repeat of what we had last time, where basically there was no debates. The debates were like, some debates weren't even aired, and they were filmed, and I felt that was complete BS. People have to go on the air, and there has to be different ways for people to hear all these issues, because we know there are some consequential disagreements about how to go forward with all the different players in the foundation. Thank you.
Thanks. Sagerton, you're next.
Some announcements from the NES on WBAI. Are those announcements being made across the network on all the stations? And are they uniform at each station? And how are you, how are they being scheduled? Are they in rotation? How are they, scheduled so that they're evenly distributed?
The same messaging is going across the board to each of the stations, and then, Renee is working closely with each of the PDs, if the station has one or who was serving in that capacity, to make sure that they are put on and aired. And then we are asking for reports from the stations as to when they aired. We will have a greater understanding if they are actually being aired or not when we see their reports, but they're supposed to be.
Wonderful. A quick follow-up. They are also going to include calls for new members and calls for candidates, right?
Yes, the messages will change weekly.
Yeah, and they'll grow in terms of, you know, what election event is coming up. That'll be the subject matter, et cetera. Wonderful.
Correct.
Sounds great.
All right, Teresa. You're muted.
Thank you very much, Stephanie, for your hard work. So I guess I can ask questions about other items, right? I know that a lot of your time is spent juggling, calling people to say, could we postpone paying this to pay something else? And I'm wondering, is there a committee specifically or any group of people that's working specifically on how to get money to pay the EIDL loan, how to get money for the auditor, you know, how to get money for this loan that we're going to be paying 18% interest on? I'd like to know who specifically is addressing this, because I think we're talking about rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, and this is a very serious issue.
The only person that is working on that directly actually is myself, because these are pretty substantial gifts and donors that we need to talk to. So it's really just me trying to steward and cultivate and talk to as many individuals as possible that might have the capacity to make a significant gift.
Sorry, Chair, but we are out of time.
Thank you, Darlene. I imagine that you were about to break in. Okay, so that's the ED report and Q&A. And that was everybody who was on the queue with their hand up, got a chance to ask Stephanie a question. The next item was the general counsel report, which I noted we won't have an open session this evening. And so now we're at new business. And I would also point out that we voted to extend time certain to 10:44 and it's 10:35. And the item under new business is, Beth's motion on the elections committee. So Beth, we have 9 minutes. So go.
Thank you. I have to turn to it. So I'll read, this is a petition to the PNB for redress of grievances from Director Elizabeth Von Gunten on behalf of Pacifica Elections Committee member Eric C. Jacobson and KPFK membership. This was sent out just before the meeting, so you should all have it in your email and can follow along with me if you'd like. Number one, at the June 7th, 2023 PNB Elections Committee meeting,
Eric C. Jacobson, duly elected Elections Committee member representing KPFK, was improperly removed as a member and actively and deliberately excluded from the meeting, depriving Mr. Jacobson of his rights as a member and KPFK as of its chosen representation on the committee, without notice, without due process, without valid grounds. As a consequence, Director Elizabeth Funken was also improperly excluded from the same meeting despite extensive and persistent efforts to attend, thus depriving both of us any chance to address this injustice there and then, to prevent the need for PNB intervention. 3, Mr. Jacobson was duly elected a KPFK delegate in December 2019 and elected to represent KPFK on the Elections Committee at the LSB meeting of October 23, 2022, replacing Michael Novick when Mr. Novick was appointed KPFK IGM. 4, Mr. Jacobson had neither resigned, nor is he deceased, nor is he engaged in any disqualifying act, nor exhibited conduct adverse to the best interests of the foundation, nor has there been an election to replace him. Those are the backgrounds listed in the bylaws for removal. Therefore,
you're over 90 seconds by 30 seconds.
Fred, she's reading the motion. You've got to let her read the motion.
I need a clarification.
And motivate.
Right. Keep going, Beth.
thank you. Therefore, in accordance with Pacifica bylaws, Robert's Rules of Order, Robert's Rules of Order 1323 and PNB Resolution, Mr. Jacobson remains a member of the Elections Committee until replaced by a duly elected replacement. No committee has the authority to take such unilateral action without referring the matter to the PNB for approval. With the Pacifica elections actively underway, this unjustly and wholly inappropriate preemptive attempt to alter the roster of the Elections Committee without notice, due process, or justification by committee members openly aligned with one faction to the exclusion of a member not similarly aligned puts Pacifica at risk of violating the April 10, 2023 injunction ruling in Rideau versus Pacifica, in which Pacifica as a whole and Aki Tanaka, Julie Hewitt, James Sagerton, Ali Lexa, and Sharon Salam are enjoined from violating the terms of the bylaws regarding elections process of delegates. 7, therefore, prevent further legal jeopardy, Pacifica must act immediately to correct these egregious violations, restore KPFK's rightful representation, and return Mr. Jacobson to his rightful place as an Elections Committee member pending an investigation. In light of the recent court ruling in Rideau versus Pacifica, and with Pacifica elections underway, Pacifica must undertake an immediate investigation to determine and document what transpired in the Elections Committee to create the situation, and then report back to the PNB at its next meeting. If the committees or individual members' actions are proven to have been deliberate and coordinated, as we can document that they were, then corrective disciplinary action must also be undertaken. On behalf of Pacifica Elections Committee members, KPFK membership and Pacifica Elections Committee member Jacobson, Director Ron Clinton hereby petitions the PNB for immediate redress of these grievances. And I've put it into the form of a motion because I realize that's what the PNB can act on. So at this point, I move that the PNB restore. I'll send this by email. I move that the PNB restore Eric C. Jacobson to his rightful place as a duly elected KPFK Elections Committee representative until his replacement is properly elected, and that the PNB assign a work group/committee, or I don't care what you want to call it, to conduct an investigation into the recent attempts to remove him from that committee to report back to the PNB at the next regular meeting. I would propose that the investigational work group could perhaps draw from the governance committee, given that there are people there who who've been there a long time, who have experience with these kinds of things. It shouldn't be either myself as chair and the complainant in this case, because I'll be likely to provide information for that investigation. It shouldn't be anyone else on the committee who might also be in a position to do the same. But that is a readily available pool of people to pick from.
Thank you. I see. Okay, so I'm sorry. Is this a motion?
Yes, the latter part. Shall I read that, the last bit again?
No. I wanted to confirm that it was okay, read that part again. I'm sorry.
Okay. I move that the PNB restore Eric C. Jacobson to his rightful place as a duly elected KPFK Elections Committee representative until his replacement is properly elected, and the PNB assign a work group committee, or whatever you want to call it, to conduct an investigation into the recent attempt to remove him from that committee to report back to the PNB at the next regular meeting. And I guess I should just clarify that his status on this committee is not dependent on his disputed status on the LSB. We'll take that case up next, but for the time being, he was duly elected to that committee as a KPFK delegate, and he remains in that position until he's duly replaced, regardless of that position is not dependent on his current immediate status as an LSB member. It's separate and independent from that. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Beth. You read 10 points and then you made a motion, but am I right that the motion is not one of those 10 points? That's why I can't follow along. Is that right?
It was intended to summarize the last of in the 10 points. There was effect. I said we do hereby petition the PNB for immediate redress, and including restoring him to his rightful place and establishing an investigation into what happened.
So I appreciate you repeating it orally, but that didn't work for my eyeballs. Does Nancy have the actual motion in front of her?
I'm pasting it in now, and I will send it to her and to the entire PNB.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, now we're at 10:44, which is
I'm just going to say, Chair, where we are, one more minute, but we are we'll be coming up to time certain, not time
on this item
to talk about.
Right. Okay.
We table the motion. Postpone.
So what I'm concerned about is, the fact that as Beth noted, she's asking for an investigation and there's a time sensitive nature to it. And, the body can decide not to do that, right? But what I don't want to do is have us ignore a time sensitive, item by postponing it to a future meeting, because we're at time certain. And of course, this is what happens, right? So.
I have a point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yeah, I have, I can see here in the Pacifica Foundation website, I can see Pacifica Committee membership and the election committee is including, this Eric Jacobson. Is included here. I need to understand why the 15 members that are here were denied to be there, because it's posted here.
Yeah, right. So Adriana, I think you're asking perfectly reasonable questions, and I think the point is that Beth has asked for an investigation, and the investigation would answer that question, not that we're able to answer that question for you here this evening.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. What's the point of order?
We don't have a clear motion and nothing's been seconded.
Correct. Nothing has been seconded. So is there a second for Beth's motion?
James.
Was that Sagerton seconded, James? Thank you. Okay. And again, folks, we are, also at time. And so,
point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
What happened to the person who spoke up and said, I move that we table it? What happened to that one?
I got talked over by Julie.
He did. That is correct. And his motion wasn't seconded either.
I seconded. I actually said move to postpone. Oh. Either way, we should deal with this next meeting.
Okay. So one thing I want everyone to realize is that because of the luck of the calendar, there being 5 Thursdays in the month of June, our next meeting is not for 3 weeks. It will be July 6th. So that's 3 weeks from this evening. Okay. Let me just add a subtext, which is Stephanie reported on some possible movement on, the KPFK building. It is entirely plausible that we would, wind up having to have an emergency, closed session meeting, having to, deal with events at real estate events at KPFK sometime between now and July 6th anyway. So, I just want to say that out loud for folks.
Convene that group, Madam Chair, without we discussing anything? Can you convene an investigation committee? We don't need to spend more time on this.
I can't convene it unless the motion passes.
It's been sent. It's been sent.
Yes, but I tabled it and Ali seconded it.
So fine. There's a motion to, I want to be very clear. There's not a motion to table. What there is a motion to postpone, and you have to say to postpone till when to make it a proper motion.
I move to postpone to the next meeting. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ali, and Fred. Okay.
I'm sorry, but I have a point of order because people, we have a bunch of hands up and people cannot jump without the floor and throw their emotion and be in second. I mean, that is not fair.
Yeah,
and that's not a point of information.
Hang on.
That is a point of order,
else,
I say.
Hang on. If anybody else wants to be the chair of this miserable body, just let me know and I will turn the reins over to you. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to try to restore order here, recognizing that we did not have a motion to extend and we are past time certain. I talked over Fred when he was trying to make a motion to, table. We now have bad chair. So now we have a motion to, postpone to the next meeting. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone to the next meeting?
Yeah. I object.
Okay. Because we have objections, Nancy, we need to go to a vote. So a vote yes means postpone to the next meeting and a vote no means, we're not postponing to the next meeting. Can you call the roll, Nancy? Did we lose Nancy? No, she's there. Go ahead.
Risa Allen.
Allen says yes, postpone.
Adriana Casanave?
No.
James Dingman?
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs? Come back to you, Fred Dodds.
Sorry, pass. Apology.
Okay.
Fred yes.
William Foster?
No.
Sue Goodwin.
Sue's probably gone.
Yeah. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Donna Grimes. Valia Jones.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
James McFadden. James McFadden.
You're muted, James.
I'll come back to you. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
No.
James.
No.
Sagerton. No. Sagerton.
No.
Sharon Salam.
No.
That wasn't Sharon.
It was not Sharon.
I'm waiting for Sharon to answer.
I don't see her on
I don't see her on the
call.
Okay. Aki Tanaka.
I abstain.
Abstain. Beth Van Gunten.
No.
Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, you passed.
No.
Let me try Sue Goodwin again. I think she's gone. Donna Grimes. Are you still here? Let's see. I don't see Donna.
She's still here.
She's still
this
here.
Is James McFadden. I don't know why my mute didn't work, but I think I got it working now. So, no.
How do you
vote? Yeah, you already voted several times.
I'm voting Fred. No. I don't know if I got hurt.
Fred, thank you.
James McFadden?
No.
Thank you. Donna Grimes, you're muted. Donna? Okay, let me count. Wait, is Sharon? Eight yes, eight no, one abstention.
Damn. Oh, thank you, people.
Julie.
Yeah.
It's not passing anyway unless that the chair votes yes, right?
Correct. I'll vote no.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody else has to keep time now. I'm actually going to take a bio break.
Thank you for the heads up. Okay, folks, so we are past time certain, and so we need a motion to extend, and it has to pass by a 2/3 vote. And I suggest that we make it the motion to extend the time certain be as small as possible to deal with this matter here and now. And that people win it.
5 minutes.
I'm sorry. What was that, Adriana?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. Is there a second to Adriana's motion to extend time certain by 5 more minutes? Thank you. I heard Sagerton say he was seconding that. Are there any objections to the motion to extend time certain by 5 minutes?
I object.
Okay. Go ahead, Nancy.
You mean the time from now or the time from 10:44?
From now.
Okay.
Since we cannot spin the clock backwards. Adriana, that's right. That's a correct interpretation of your motion to extend. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So 5 more minutes would be till, at this point, it would be 11:01. on my computer clock. Ali objected, so we're going to have to go to a vote.
Okay, Teresa Allen?
Please state the vote, Chair.
We're voting on the motion to extend the time certain for this open session to 11:01.
Never mind.
Allen says yes.
Adriana Casanave?
Yes, yes.
James Dingman?
Yep.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth? Oh, he's gone. William Foster?
Yes.
Sue Goodwin? Gone. Heather Gray?
Abstain.
Donna Grimes? You're muted. Avelia Jones?
No.
Ali Lexa?
No.
Marianne Martinez?
No.
James McFadden?
Yes.
Darlene Pagano?
No.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Sharon Salam? Aki Tanaka?
No.
Beth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Egberto Willis?
No.
Pardon me? Is that you saying?
No.
Thank you. Okay. 9 yes. 6 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if I did vote yes, it wouldn't be a 2/3 vote, would it? I mean, I'll vote yes, but I think it doesn't pass.
2/3 of... I make it 10.
18.
2/3 to extend the time?
Because it's not to extend time, but to extend time certain because we approved the agenda, so it's amending the agenda.
The 2/3 of those voting or 2/3?
2/3 of those voting.
Okay, there's 16 voting.
Didn't pass.
Right, because it's 10-6, so it didn't pass. Mm-hmm. All right. It is effectively tabled. Postponed. Postponed. And we are headed into closed session now.